You guys know I'm crazy about Audible because it offers an incredible selection of audiobooks across every genre. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog, including the latest bestsellers and new releases. Audible really is the destination for thrilling audio entertainment, with female writers and heroines, celebrity narration, multicast productions with immersive sound design, and traditional audiobooks. Audible has you covered for any type of excitement that you're looking for. In fact, right now I'm listening to The Second Husband by Kate White. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/realitylife or text realitylife to 500-500. That's audible.com/realitylife or text realitylife to 500-500.
The amazing Kate Casey.
Welcome back to another week's episode of Reality Life with Kate Casey. Started off a strong week with the Keeping Up with the Kardashians 10-year anniversary special. I have to say, it did look a little bit like an infomercial, like I fully expected someone to talk about ointments or a rotisserie chicken. Everyone was dressed in white, the lighting was off, and everyone looked like they were paid to be there, and I'm pretty sure there was a laugh track. It's a little bit disappointing now that we know that Khloe and Kylie are both pregnant and that Kim is expecting a baby via surrogate. None of those questions were answered, obviously, about whether or not there was some sort of pact to get pregnant together. So a little bit of a disappointment. I also watched a show at the request of someone on Twitter, a show called My Giant Life. And maybe it's because I have an ex that was 6'7", and one of my friends here is an extraordinarily tall woman who won Wimbledon. I'm not really fazed by really tall people. So the storyline kind of got boring after 5 minutes. And I do think it's sort of a dick move on the producer, or excuse me, the cameraman's part, to put the camera on the floor by the couch. So it's shooting up because this woman named Coco, who I believe is like 6'8", actually looked to be like 9'5". So I don't know, kind of got boring after a while. I watched a couple episodes of Siesta Key at the request of my friends Carlene and Rachel, who swear to me every week during text that it's worth it. I'm still feeling like this is a low rent Laguna Beach. I have to say, there's absolutely no point of Polly, the cousin who's a DJ. Madison should not be on the show because she's way too smart. I am not buying her relationship with Brandon. Everyone hooks up with Alex, and I don't understand why. He barely opens his eyes. He's always wearing that weird statement necklace with the dolphin. And I also think it's really strange that his father is the executive producer and in charge of the show in general. So he's basically watching his son have sex with different women and enjoys it. It's super crazy. And then what else did I watch? Oh, you know what I noticed is that on Real Housewives of Dallas and Orange County, both shows focused on women getting breast jobs at the plastic surgery office. I don't know. Is that the age that we are in, that everyone gets their boobs done? Maybe. I just don't know if it's that interesting. I mean, I know friends that are getting, you know, reductions and implants, and it's just not something that really I get jazzed up about. So I would ask them to dial that stuff back a little bit. But the good news is this. You're about to listen to an interview with Justin Brescia, Justin Bobby from The Hills. Yes, again, I've tracked someone down, and this guy is so, so interesting. I got to tell you that. But the best part about it was that he was texting Audrina Patridge during the interview. So I'm extremely excited for you guys to hear that interview. I asked Candy Lawrence, who's hysterical, to watch The Low Files on A&E, Rob Lowe's show with his two sons. And I asked Danny Pellegrino to watch with me the season premiere of Dancing with the Stars. Pretty sure it's season number 725, and the show should be called Dancing with People That Are Also on This Earth.
With four daughters and two on a dance team, I can tell you we go through a lot of mascara in my house. But I'm crazy about L'Oreal Paris new Panorama Mascara, which catches every lash from corner to corner for maximum volume. If you're looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank, this is yours. The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. I've been using it for about 2 weeks now, and I feel like my eye has completely opened up, and the girls are crazy about it too. They've got a tapered brush to catch every lash, one of the best mascara wands that I've ever used. And like I said, this luxe appearance of this gold package, you gotta get it. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today. L'Oreal Paris New Panorama Mascara, you're gonna love it.
I am really excited to tell you I'm on the line with Justin Brusha. Justin was on the television show on MTV The Hills, which I'm sure most people watched. He was most famously known as Justin Bobby. And now I understand what happened was that you were a professional hair cutter and you met Ardrina Patridge at a studio, and you went to cut her hair and producer saw you and asked you to come back on the show. Is that correct?
Yeah, we were at Coyote Studios where she was working. And then, I was doing hair on the set of a Madonna video shoot. And, yeah, she was receptioning, and I kept walking back and forth because sometimes you just got to, I don't know, run to the trailer one, whatever, however that worked out. And, she was super sweet. She came in, I remember her coming into, whatever studio we were in and checking in and saying hi, and I think offering drinks or goodies or something, like, I don't know, something around those lines. We got to talking and she asked me if I could do her hair. At the time though, I didn't do it right away. At the time I was traveling with Maroon 5 for I think a couple of years by then. And then I was doing offsite jobs like the videos at Coyote's, and Madonna's video popped up and there was a couple hairdressers, so we were all on it, and then she happened to be there. So I didn't do it right away. It took a couple times for us to like stay in contact, and then finally I did it, but I think we did it just one-on-one, and then the producers saw that she got her hair done. They're like, oh, you did your hair? And yeah, my friend Justin did it, and oh, you know, we got a hairdresser. And back then it was a little more unheard of, you know, just a straight guy doing the hair and running around with all these babes. So I think they took an interest to that. And they had called me and asked me to basically do what I had done at her apartment or wherever we did it. And so we did that, shot that. They loved it, but it was just too awkward or weird of a storyline to maybe just start off. You know, I just showed up and cut her hair. So they went the more romantic route, which is a bigger story than me just being her hairdresser.
Well, I remember it was some story about how you had met in Las Vegas and she had left you there, and it seemed quite like a soap opera. So that was not true at all.
No, that never happened. No, the only time we were in Vegas is for the show. We shot some stuff. I think a few episodes or a few seasons later we did. But no, we were never like that. There was always a fairly grand mutual respect and consideration for each other, just because we were friends before anything. So we weren't pushed together by the show. After I did her hair, we remained friends. So I felt like we had a little bond and trust within each other against,
so were you,
obviously. But,
were you ever in a romantic relationship at all?
Oh, of course with her. I mean, we would work long hours and do these romantic scenes and then be together and then, you know, go out and meet people and stuff. So it caused a courtship for sure. But to get significant about it, it just never really caught on. Up to date, she's an extremely busy girl. She loves to take on all kinds of jobs and tasks, and that's just her nature. And me, I play rock and roll, and I was playing rock and roll before the Hills and cutting hair, so I was really busy too. So it came to a point where we were, the best time to show up or be able to see each other was when we were filming. So nothing was able to take flight from there just because of that fair reason right there.
So how much of what percentage of the show's storylines for you were fabricated? What percentage would you say?
It was a hefty chunk. I mean, at first they put you in a scenario or in a situation and then let the cameras roll. And then they would give, you know, the cast or the girls alcohol and watch it unfold, which it did a great thing. But in the beginning, a little bit more innocent. And then as viewers and as it caught on, a lot more storylines and storyboards and, okay, now we're not just talking about anything. We have to, like, get these identities of what's happening and going on in other people's lives within the cast and so forth.
So were you really that annoying of a boyfriend, or that was a writer doing that? Because I'm like, I remember watching that show and thinking, this guy is such a jerk.
Well, a lot of that had to do with editing. I remember, I mean, I tell this story a couple of times. There was, me showing up in combat boots and stuff to the beach is just because they called me on my off day and asked me to actually shoot some scenes. And I was with my boys riding the Harleys and, you know, and I show up like on a, you know, kind of like unannounced and not thinking I'm heading to the beach type thing. And so they would implement that. And then, they'd have like Audrina bring her helmet so we could do, arriving and departing scenes. And then obviously I'm taking off by myself or with my boys on the Harley without her. So then they're like, oh, perfect opportunity for him to see like he left her. But none of that was true at all. I would never do that. So
what about the time you took the ring and stuck it in your mouth? Was that like something?
Oh, that was all me. That was all me. I wanted her to come grab it, but you know, just to make for.
And then the relationship with the other girls. That's all fabricated, I'm assuming.
Yeah. Later on, they had me dating Kristen. It got real for a minute because, for me, it was. I felt like what I kept starting to kept filming because I stopped. I kind of canceled myself. I think, I don't know, fourth or fifth season. I wouldn't film. They asked me to come keep, you know, because there was a storyline. And I said, listen, I can't keep doing these stare-offs at, you know, at a dinner table with nothing to say with Audrina. So,
right.
I mean, my character is going to start looking shittier and the storyline's just dying. So you guys need to come up with something, write something better, or come up with something more. And then obviously entered Kristen and then we had a little flash in the pan. So
yeah. Now I read an interview where you had said that Lauren Conrad wasn't that down to earth. Was it hard to, I mean, the show really was from narrated from her point of view. So did you feel like at some point after a couple of years, like this is just not the direction I want to go in? I don't even really get along with this person that well.
Well, I mean, I judge people off of how you first interact with them and their genuity. And she just didn't have it, at least with me. We didn't have that. I mean, there was points. I mean, you could just hear over the walkie-talkie. She wouldn't film that. She wouldn't do this. She wouldn't do that. So there was definitely prima donna shit going on. And I'm not down with that. You know, all those kids, to be honest, they all came from very successful families and very well off. And I was definitely the bad boy who, I mean, I grew up on the beach, but 9 years old, you know, they were on the beach while their parents were having, you know, conceiving them. So they had that thing. You could feel there was a hierarchy click,
right,
which even pissed me off more. So I was never into it. So when somebody like, you know, like those girls, they fucking talk to people and won't even look them in the face kind of thing. So it was, for me, I was kind of disgusted right off the bat, but, and that's why I didn't start filming for the second season till the second season. Cause they asked me for a few months and I kept saying no. I said, I really don't want to be invested with these people, but they asked how much I was making doing hair in Maroon 5, and I think I lied and tripled my salary, which was pretty hefty at that point. And so I think they doubled it or something like that. I was like, okay, I'll come film.
Smart. But
that network like that, they have funny money, but they act like they don't. So, so then everything they would ask to film with them, like it took me a while to film and do an entrance scene where I met Lo and Lauren at that point. I didn't see a connection. I knew Audrina wasn't really friends with them. I had nothing to do with them. I just didn't feel it was adequate for me to take part in their lives, especially when I have like, they would have just got worse shit out of me if I had to film with Lo anymore.
Right.
Or even Lauren at that.
So people got so caught up in that show. Did it get difficult? I would assume that you just would get recognized. And we have a friend in common, and she told me that even today that people look at you, like people notice you and stare at you. I would assume that that would be pretty overwhelming at some point. Like you would need some time to, you know, come get away from that.
Well, you have a feeling of what's happening. And I mean, I had a sense of what was happening and what was taking place. And I knew once the cast was kind of set and the storylines were kind of starting to breathe, and the magnitude of, I mean, it was the perfect time for Us Weekly and Style, all that shit. I mean, that was the modern day handheld phone for some, you know, that before that was just what, text messaging and rolling balls on a BlackBerry. You know, it wasn't
right.
There wasn't looking up anything. So your first grab was at a newsstand for any kind of new information. And I mean, that was the turn for reality television at that point that just kind of took off. So I remember I had one little clip right when I first started, like as if I was maybe going to be a character. I mean, I got calls from home for like 2 weeks just from that alone. So then when the show did take off, that it was pretty much said and done. We got, you know, fan mail across the world and it was pretty intense, but
was it hard? Did it make it hard to date people?
My door definitely came knocking. I mean, there was women everywhere, to be honest. They were always after that. I mean, you get a single guy on TV, even nowadays, women love it for some reason. I would get all kinds of information coming my way, which was fun. It was a good time. And the privacy thing kind of was a hindrance, you know, like,
yeah.
I was in Hollywood when we were filming and I had to move out. I mean, I couldn't, you know, I'm not one to not feel safe in my home, or I'm not one to feel good about somebody following me or taking pictures when I'm least feeling it. If I'm feeling like shit, or if I've just filmed, you know, 10, 12 hours that day, and then I have a paparazzi just trying to catch what I'm doing afterwards. It wasn't good for me personally. Cause I don't know. I think I got an old school mentality where I think about my safety and who the fuck are you following me and why are you doing this? I mean, I get it, but
right.
I'm not going to give you anything ever to let you publish. So might as well just keep on driving by.
Well,
it wasn't like that.
Does that make it hard for you? Did it make it hard for you to trust people?
Sure. I mean, mostly, I mean, the thing was, is I kept with my clique of people. I wouldn't say clique. I hate that word, but I kept with the people that I was in a band at the time. I was already in a band since 19. So I had my brothers in the band. So I knew who they were. I had my family. I knew who they were, obviously. And I kind of surrounded myself around that. But I mean, there's people that when they see you, sometimes they wouldn't know how to talk. Sometimes they would just stare. Sometimes, and the magnitude of that many people, you get some fucking weirdos, and
right.
You don't know what they're capable of. now we're more exposed to it ever with seeing everything on Instagram and, you know, but that stuff was definitely, I feel, going on back then, just nobody was exposed to it.
Right.
So when we're traveling and doing appearances across the country and Canada, all over, basically, you get some weird people. So yeah, there's points where every time I went out for an appearance or whatnot, I had to have security and whatnot, not for the, oh, look at me, I'm glamorous, just for the out of the 200, 250, 300 people that want to say hi, there's a couple of people are like, what happened in that episode? I was believing in you, and you're like, what are you talking about, kind of thing. And
I think part
of haters, you know.
I think part of that too is that sometimes when people watch a show, their reaction is because it reminds them of something about in their own life. So maybe if you were the bad boy, you know, James Dean figure, it reminds them of like the guy that did them wrong. So maybe when they saw you, that was what was happening. Did that make you feel isolated at all?
No, because I knew myself when I was strong enough to act on it. I wasn't at that point. I wasn't going to let anything defer me from the truth. And, you know, people come up, ask you shit. At the end of the day, I was like, hey, it's TV. You gotta understand how to differentiate. I am Justin, but you know, what you see is television. So keep moving, you know, otherwise just be nice. But I didn't get it too much. I don't know how the other cast members felt, but I was pretty lucky. I feel it was like 99% positive returns on people than it was negative at all. I don't know what it was. I mean, maybe the act of God, because God knew I was, you know, I was living a right, you know, a pretty straightforward path.
Yeah.
And I was always straight up with Audrina. I never lied to her. I never filmed without her unless I told her. You know, I was like, hey, I'm going to do this shot just so it didn't brew up within her, you know. And then afterwards, after, you know, 4 or 5 seasons, and I'm like, all right, well, screw this. I got to keep working.
Does that feel like forever ago, the show?
It's starting to now. I mean, yeah. 35, so I think it ended in 26, 27, somewhere around there. I'm 28, maybe. It still feels relevant because people keep it relevant.
Yeah.
I mean, I lived in 3 different countries since then, so it's like, yeah, there's a lot of change. I just haven't caught on to the get married and have babies and then get divorced thing yet.
Right. Now, did you ever see any of the people that you were on the show with?
Yeah, I mean, I'm literally chatting with Audrina right now. We're in the, like, we're talking because I made a comment about her, you know, what was happening with her divorce, and she had reached out to me and, you know, kind of thanked me for just being nice and a friend about the whole thing.
That's nice. And, you know, really, I agreed. Nice.
Yeah, me and her, out of everybody, like, you know, had the coolest bond, I feel. I think, I mean,
yeah.
Guy-girl bond. Like Frankie and Brody.
Like just a genuine friendship.
Yeah, I mean, there's a genuine concern. Like, well, I mean, I would get pissed, too. I mean, there was times, even though we would kind of be dating, not dating, whatever, I would see some of the things, like, while we were filming, and I would be the only one that would speak out. I mean, I was red flagged, obviously, with production and stuff, because I just wouldn't tap my shoes the way they wanted to.
Yeah.
In the first 3 seasons, I signed all my own contracts with one lawyer. Like, I didn't have a hefty team. I didn't have management and publicity people or any of that bullshit.
Yeah. So,
I thought it was silly.
So now, all these years later, fill us in on what you're working on now.
Well, I've been still playing rock and roll. I just got off of a 50-date U.S. tour. I've been playing under Bobby Rock, which is like it's been a 2-piece alternative rock band, and we were traveling. But the last couple tours, I ended up doing it myself, doing the drums and bass and guitars and pretty much everything else. And then I'm working on a new project with a really good drummer. We're calling it Dressed in Black. And Yeah, I did the salon thing. I opened up salons afterwards, like three salons, one in Nicaragua, one in Manhattan Beach, one in New York, and then had my fun with that and I kind of sold them off and bought some property, bought a house in Manhattan Beach and just did it right, you know, with the fortune I was able to make.
And then you also also created hair products, correct?
Yeah, I did a whole line of brush your hair products that were vegan, organic, and animal-free, cruelty-free, and they worked out. It's just something's wrong with me. I like to keep moving, and if I'm not stimulated, then or my team isn't, like, you know, up to par or, like, as fast as I think I like to think and move, then I kind of let stuff die off because there's just so much. There's so many places, so many things to do in this life, and it is really genuinely short. It is quick. Sometimes you look back and you're like, God damn, that was 5 years ago or 12 years ago. So it just kind of fuels me to keep inspiration from wherever it comes from and keep moving and never, like, kind of stay stale.
So if somebody wants to,
hence why.
So if somebody wants to go see your band, they can just go to your website, Bobby. And by the way, Bobby, the name Justin Bobby, I understand. Bobby came because your middle name's Robert and you didn't know how much you wanted, you know, your name to be put out there for the hills in the beginning. So you had the name Bobby.
Yeah, not at all. Yeah, not but at then, all. I actually told Adrena
to call you. Yeah. But she kept messing up and calling you Justin. So that's where the name came from. And then,
right.
So Bobby Rock, I'm assuming, is a play on the middle name, correct?
Yeah, well, when I was before the hills, I drummed in this hard rock band called Ed Stanley for about 9 years, starting at the age of 19. So then, before that, my father was Robert. His name was Bobby, Bobby Brescia. He was a pretty big athlete back east. He did some training camps and minor league stuff as a hockey goaltender. And so they had his Bobby Brescia was a very strong name for the family and everything back there. So I'd get it once in a while, being almost the junior, you know. So I'd get Bobby Jr. So a couple friends that were close who would say Bobby, not Justin. And then when they knew I was playing or come see me play, they'd just be Bobby, you fucking rock kind of thing. Bobby, you drum good, Bobby rock. And then it just kind of played on and had some friends on some tequila nights, let me tattoo them, and it kind of just stuck for a little while.
So
Bobby rock is kind of what.
So right now you're in Austin, Texas. Are you
correct?
Are you living there, or that's just the latest stop in your tour?
No, I'm actually currently residing here. I've been here for 2 years. Before that, I was in Soho and Manhattan for another 3. Before that, I was in I was in Indonesia for 6 months, in Australia and stuff like that for a while, in Nicaragua, and I'm kind of just settling here. Yeah.
So if people want to go to see your show, they can go to Bobby Rock on Instagram, and you have the dates of your shows.
Yeah, well, not right this second. We literally just wrapped up this epically long, treacherous tour. So I'm taking a moment. I've been home for 3 weeks. I just slept the last 2 of those weeks, and now I'm kind of like coming out of hibernation, and I'm like back in the studio and working with this new drummer. But I think we're going to do a name change to something like Dressed in Black. Just to broaden it up a little bit more and hit up connections. I mean, I don't like the self-righteous titled shit. I never have. It's really hard for me. But when you're playing rock and roll as a solo musician, it's kind of, I mean, I can call myself Tom Thumb. I don't know. But
well,
it seems simpler.
You probably get recognized everywhere. It seems like you pretty much look the same. So I think it doesn't matter really what your name is, right?
I guess not. I try to keep it easy because you need to be smart about certain things like that too. I mean, everything you do in business just got to be a chess play for the most part. Nothing not thought out doesn't really work. So obviously Justin Bobby, Bobby Rock, Justin Bobby Rock was easy for me to just segue into that and not have too many people be I'm trying to search too hard under what kind of music I'm playing now. So,
but they can find you under, we'll see. They can find you under your Instagram, right?
Yeah, Justin Bobby Brescia. Yeah, I still have that one, and then it's like a direct link into the music link too as well.
And no wife, no children yet.
No. I mean, yes, at some point, absolutely. And I'm here for that one reason. I feel like this is why we are here, is to meet your partner, however, whoever, and create and multiply and teach and retire and enjoy. And I haven't hit on every aspect that I'd like to just yet. There's so much. I mean, speaking personally, I know that you have four kids and a husband, and it's a lot of work. But for me, I'd like to get absolutely everything out of my system. I'd hate to be a traveling musician playing 200 shows out of 360 days and have to call home or Skype or actually FaceTime now, because Skype seems irrelevant, but with family or a newborn or, you know, something of that magnitude. So.
Well, I'm sure it'll happen at the right time.
Yeah, I'm excited for it. I mean, I don't know who I'm going to get coming from my wife and what kind of kid, because, I mean, I've been a madman for over 30 years now, so I got to be mentally prepared for that.
I feel like you're going to marry, I feel like you're going to marry a yoga teacher or someone like
that. Oh.
Someone really mellow.
Yeah, that gets me and understands me, but at the same time, I don't know. I love physicality. I love passion. I'm Italian. I love looking at my spouse and like having my mouth drop in water, you know, that kind of thing. But it's tricky because it's very seldom do you find that and then your best friend. And what I'm learning now is your best friend is pretty much who will go the distance with you. Physicality can die off, and then all of a sudden you got to deal with people's, I don't know, attitudes and how they work. So for me, being a solo runner for all these years, it's going to be difficult, but I know it'll happen and I'm excited for it. I just gotta be patient.
Yeah. I think your problem is you're such an independent person that it's going to be hard for you to wrap your mind around having someone. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's tricky too. Cause I mean, the rock and roll life is temptation in every direction. I mean, just from beautiful souls to great music to, traveling, you get the travel bug and all that other great stuff. So it is tricky. a musician I really cared for passed away, Lemmy from Motorhead. And he would always say, he's like, I never found one that I liked more than the next. I was like, ooh,
wow.
That's heavy and sad and great at the same time.
Yeah.
But there's gotta be a point where, okay, now's my time. And not only that, I'm looking to, from the investments that I made in playing as hard and as long as I've played, I don't want getting by money or taking care of family money. I'm looking for funny money, just like where there's endless zeros and money is never an issue. Not just for me, just to be able, for one, to take care of my family and family's generations for years to come. Yeah. On a respectful level. Not only that, my wife, my kids, because I didn't come from that. And I think from the hills, you can kind of tell I wasn't the one that was showing up in the Mercedes just yet. You know, I wasn't that type. I definitely come from a different family that was separated at a young age and all kinds of baggage that comes with that. So for me, I would like the best possible life for the closest people around me to come.
Yeah.
So I think endless zeros, be able to give back. I'd love to, I want to see the goodness in people's hearts and be able to give them gifts, you know, whatever, show that somebody is seeing them and that they are trying and it isn't going unnoticed. because my best gifts have been like that. And I think it's a good thing to do. I think it's a good way to give back. So I'm excited and eager for it.
Well, I'm glad I talked to you. I had such a nice time talking. And everyone's going to be so excited to hear from you. And I hope people go out and see your show. And if you come to California, I'm going to come to your show. I won't bring my children.
Yeah, check it out.
I will come.
Or you can. I mean,
no, I'll come with my husband. We'll be like normal adults. Okay.
That's so funny. We're talking right now. Adrina just texted me because I told her before she... I told her before she was making that decision with Corey, we were hanging out in New York, and I was telling her, I'm just saying this because she literally just texted me right now. She said, oh, my God, my sister just told me what knocking boots is. And I told her, I'm like, you shouldn't knock boots and get knocked off. And she just texted me right now.
She seems like a really happy mom, like a really, you know, happy person.
Yeah, I don't even know how to put it delicately, her grudge meter and her hate hold on things is
very small.
I don't think she has one. Yeah. I don't think she has one. I don't. And she's super forgiving. And, it's a good thing for, I mean, she in my eyes is the most successful because of her heart, you know?
Yeah.
But you know, it comes with, you know, obviously, sadly, the situation she's in with, you know, making the decision with a person that, you know, may not be right right now, or maybe they'll be right later, but you give your heart, you know, spread your heart too thin, and that can hurt a lot.
Well, maybe that's what you need. You need someone like her who's sweet, so you balance each other out, you know?
It's true. My issue is that... I mean, I'm here for maybe another month and a half, and then I'm back on the road. So
yeah.
I know how it is. I've done long distance. I was with a Canadian girl for a long time and pretty much engaged, and the distance just killed us. It ruined everything. And it takes, I don't know. I don't want to be in a relationship and not be able to see my lady for a month, month and a half, 2 months. I just don't think that's right.
You know what you need to do? You need to be like Ozzy and Sharon. You need to marry your manager. Like Roger Federer's wife is his manager. You marry the woman who's your manager, and then you guys can travel together and you will figure it out.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Yep. I said, you know, once that Kwan comes in and you have funny money, I mean, you just bring him on the jet and all that stuff, and then you never have to be apart.
Yeah.
But some women, it's really hard. I've tried. I've actually, you know, said, come with me for a few shows, and I got a 30 show date, and they're with me for five, and I'm looking at them like, do you need some sleep? Do you want me to get you a hotel for a week?
Yeah.
it's treacherous. I mean, there's a lot of miles, a lot of downtime, a lot of rock and roll, a lot of loud music, a lot of personalities, a lot of diseased people, not just physically, but in the mind, a lot of drug addicts, alcoholics, and all preaching off of you and, you know, trying to poach that energy. And, you know, it takes rock stars aren't rock stars for no reason. They got it down, and they, you know, the only thing is to be able to save your soul while doing it.
Yeah. Okay. So tell everybody how they can find you.
Go to BobbyRockUSA.com, or you can go to Justin Bobby Bresch on Instagram, or Bobby Rock Music on Instagram. And we have new tunes. It's a heavier band called Dressed in Black. And I feel like it's not a morbid thing. It's more like just be aware of the darkness around you, and have the power to shine through and beat the odds. So that'll be coming up too.
Great.
Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. Quince is here to transform the way that you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach, like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry. And the best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman, and they pass the savings on to us. So I just got a 100% organic cotton tiered maxi skirt in red and a chiffon pleated mini skirt in soft pink. Now I'm going to wear both of them with either a white scoop t-shirt or a black tank top. In fact, wait, should we all get the same outfit and meet for drinks? Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/KateCasey for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/KateCasey to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/KateCasey.
I have to tell you, I was looking at Leslie Jones's Instagram a couple weeks ago and came across this one video that was reposted by a hilarious comedian in LA. Her name's Candy Lawrence. She is on the line with me. Please say hi, Candy.
Hi, it's me, Candy. And you're making me blush, honestly, Kate. Can't handle this. Say more. Go ahead.
So her Instagram will make you actually, you'll piss your slacks because she's genius. So please, if there's anything you remember from this episode, it's to go to her Instagram. I know that we're kindred spirits because you also do stand up. You have performed a ton of different places. I encourage people to go to your website to find all of your shows. I knew that you would be up for this job. I wanted you to watch a show called The Low Files. Now, for the people who don't know what that is, I'm going to explain. So Rob Lowe, being Rob Lowe from The Outsiders, has two sons, Matthew and John Owen, and the show basically is about them trying to solve unsolved mysteries. The show is on the A&E network. It's a nonfiction series. It takes them across the country to further their passion as they explore and debate mysterious stories and spooky legends. So for the first episode, which I had her watch, Rob and his sons visit Preston Castle, a condemned former boys reformatory in Ione, California, built in the late 1800s. Since closing in 1960, it's become a California historical landmark that is said to house angry, vengeful spirits. With the help of Rob's personal shaman, the boys work to draw out the spirit of a murder victim whose residual energy remains at the castle. So right off the bat, you start watching the show. What are your first thoughts?
Okay, I have many thoughts. First thing, I want to give Rob Lowe credit for being creative. I feel like people that are getting older, they're like, oh, I might as well do a makeup line or a fashion line. And his idea to have this, like, what did he say? Spooky. He loves spooky legends and scary stories. So I thought it was good to actually, you know, get together with his sons and create some of the best material I have ever seen. And I will tell you all of my favorite quotes at the end of the show, or maybe now. But honestly, I do want to know where they got all of their, ghost things to, like, the lights. Did they get them at Spencer Gifts, or did they just, like, hit up Best Buy or Radio Shack and get all, like, the stuff that they needed? It didn't make sense. And I don't know that I believe them any more than I do other shows, but.
Yeah, that's a good point. So they do bring equipment to them, to this condemned boys' home, and I've never seen it before. It did look like some rinky dink stuff that my stepdad would have had in his workshop closet. I don't know if I believed any of it too. He also travels with a shaman, a personal shaman.
I guess
he looked like one of the actors from The Office. I'm not sure if that guy was legit. He seemed to be laughing half the time.
That's what I was gonna say. The shaman was my favorite part, because remember that practical joke where he threw the ball down the stairs and everyone was so fucking scared? He was like, hey guys, what a knee slapper. I'm a shaman. Also, he has a cell phone. And one of my favorite quotes is Rob's wife talking to him on Facebook or on FaceTime. And she was like, I just want you to know that I already texted the shaman.
Yeah. Does he come over for dinner? Is he on speed call? Does he hang out with them all the time? Does he live in a guest house? How much time are they spending with this guy?
I know. I think he's just like the uncle, and he lives in a gazebo, and they're like, I don't know, just give him something to do. As a shaman, I guess I don't know much about it, but having cell phones, like, I'm sure he has an Instagram, which I will look up shortly.
Also, they go to this super depressing former boys' home, And the guy that's giving them the tour seemed way more interested in Rob Lowe than anything else. Like, and not I'm saying like he was romantically interested in him. I mean, like, I cannot believe it's the guy from The Outsiders. And I have to tell you, I think that all people think Rob Lowe is gorgeous. And I don't understand why he looks he looks younger than his sons.
He reminded me of my cousin Steven, so I'm really not attracted to him. And also, I'm gay, so then I'm not. But I do, I want to say that I'm attracted to Rob Lowe, like, as a friend, because these are some of my favorite quotes that came out of his mouth. Insane hawk. Oh, cool hawk. Yeah, that's a cool hawk. I mean, who talks this much about hawks? Isn't this show about ghosts?
By the way, is your cousin Steven single? I mean, Rob Lowe is really attractive. And I the thing that I like about him is that he is makes no bones about the fact that he likes attention. So
Oh my God, especially when he lists his credits in the when he lists his credits in the beginning. Do you remember? He's like, "Hey guys, isn't it nice we can get along together after me doing Parks and Rec and Code Files and Jamba Juice and America's Funniest Home Videos and Abercrombie and Fitch modeling? It's good to be back." It's like, who cares? I don't even know what Code Blue is. What are you talking about?
Or they go to a donut shop before they go to the boys' home.
Oh, my
and
God.
He's taking like a minimal 20 minutes to just hang out and kick it in the parking lot with a bunch of older women. And his sons are like, "Dad, can we blow this taco stand? Like, we need to get the show on the road." So I do think that's pretty funny. I love the fact that the sons, who are probably like 19 and 20, are like, half this shit is bullshit. Like, these are no unsolved mysteries. There's no mystery to it. There's nothing going on here. He's the believer with the dumb shaman, and the sons are like, this is probably a waste of our time. I'm wondering, does this happen like when they're not in school? Because they say they're in college, but I'm thinking this probably took up some time.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, I don't know. Maybe they're on Phoenix University, so they're getting their their BFA online in home management. I just made that up. Yes, I want to go back quickly to the donut thing because I was I think he was also getting autographs at that point. But do you remember the commercial at the end? It wasn't a commercial. It was like a news bleep. And they were like, what time did he get a donut? 8 a.m.? No. 9 a.m.? No. 10 a.m.? No. 11 a.m.? And then they go all the way down to 2 p.m. And they're like, can you believe it? He got a donut at 2:02 p.m.
It's weird. Okay. Now, then they go to the home.
Yes.
All right. Do we think the place is actually haunted?
You know, I've never had any experience, but I do believe in it. Like, I know people that have been through stuff like that. So I go into it being like, okay, prove it to me. I already am almost there with you. But then when I saw all the equipment and like thinking I could have made that, or I could have started working at Spencer's and started my own ghost line, I don't know.
Well, also, what about the translator app? So they have this thing that they hold up in the air and they say it translates ghost gibberish. And there was some little girl that died in one of the rooms or something. And they're like, she's telling us her last name. It's Corbin. It's Corbin. I thought they were talking about Corbin Burnson. Maybe they were like, she was like an L.A. Law fan. I don't know. But it didn't seem to really translate to what they were saying.
Right. They kind of made it to seem like it was what they were saying. Like, it would just be, you know, they would get these signals from the ghost and it would be just one word, which they could have been like pudding. And they're like, see, she died in the kitchen. That's what she's saying. I mean, it's literally said, you know, one word, like outside. So then they went outside. It's like, I don't know. Again.
And then the ghost said, like exorcism and go outside. So they went out to this like little plot of land outside, and then the shaman didn't seem to know what he was doing. And
Rob's like, made that shit up.
Oh yeah, he was like, can you say a prayer? And he's like, so we're here at the plot, and can you just, I don't know, spirits leave her? I don't know. Like, that guy is full of shit. He is not a shaman.
So he just, first of all, he made up they wanted them to do like a Catholic or some type of religious cleansing, which he had no idea. So all of a sudden he was like, dear God, please bless us and blah, blah, blah. And then while doing that, he took that liquid in the bottle that is like sick.
Oh, right.
Killing things, and he's just doing spit takes all over these graves. I'm just like, how do you get this job? Where is this on LinkedIn?
I know, that's a good call. So upcoming episodes, they go to some secret underwater base. They check out Bigfoot. They check out an alien abduction in Phoenix.
Oh, my God.
I love how Rob, by the way, in the episode, totally made fun of people who live in Sedona. He's like, nutbags really live there. I'm like, you live in like Malibu and you probably have a personal psychic living in your basement. They're going to investigate America's secret space program, because I'm sure if America has a space program, they're going to let Rob Lowe and his two college age sons get to the bottom of it.
Of course they will.
But I will tell you this. I'm still going to watch this show because it's very funny. The sons are cute. I like how much they love their dad and vice versa. So it's cute. It's cute. I'll say that.
It is cute. I'm definitely reeled in to the point where it's going on right now. And one of the words that was translated on that machine we were talking about earlier was pie. So we're going to find out a lot of shit in the upcoming episodes, as I'm telling you what, especially the alien abduction. I went to school in Pine Bush, New York, and I went back a couple months ago, and there are signs on every front lawn, every storefront that have pictures of aliens. I was going to say lesbians, but I definitely meant aliens. They are like really into that UFO culture. And like when I lived there, I didn't think anything of it, but going back, I was like, oh my God, people are really into this. And that's something I don't know that I believe.
I don't think I believe in spaceships either.
Yeah.
I may believe in a lot of stupid stuff, but that's not one of them. Well, my favorite video, which I want people to look for, is the one where you talk about your divorce, how you've lost everything in the divorce, but the most painful thing is the loss of your Lee press-on nails.
Honestly, I did lose them in the divorce. They were on the, what do you call it, prenup? And I said, that's all you want, are my two pinky nail Lee press-ons? You can have it. But did I look like shit the next day? Of course. Was I livid? Absolutely. Honestly, what happened was I did drag for the first time, like lady drag, which I'm in love with. And so I put nails on, and it hurt to pull them off, and I didn't want to put them in acetone, so I just let them slowly come off, so I looked worse and worse as the day went on. And they were like black nails, so I was like, I'm goth, you know? But, you know, divorce happens. What can I say?
What can you say? Oh, well, tell everybody where they can find you.
Oh, yeah. I would suggest, I do have a website that I do not update that often, but the best part, all my contact information is, including my pager number, is on my Instagram, which is at Comedy Lawrence. Which I do regret. I wish it was just Candy Lawrence. Why did I have to throw that comedy in there? Who knows? It was 5 years ago. Let's have fun.
I know.
But my website, it's all easy to remember because it's all Comedy Lawrence. ComedyLawrence.com. At Comedy Lawrence. Same for Twitter. ComedyLawrence.org. Okay, that last one is nothing.
That sounds like one of the offsites of the Church of Scientology.
Exactly, which is what I'm starting in a week. So I'm glad you got the word.
Oh, good. Well, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. If you're looking for new style inspiration, Saks.com is the place to go. Saks.com is making it easy for me to shop for the spring with their selection of chic clothes and accessories. Right now, I'm looking at Saks.com so I can find my new going out vibe. I'm looking for a breezy Zimmermann dress for an evening cocktail party. And for my upcoming conference in Los Angeles, I'm looking at bright Chloe blazers because I'm pushing myself to wear more orange and pink. Saks.com will inspire you to shop for everything on your agenda. So find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Danny Pellegrino is hysterical. You probably know him from Instagram. If you go to Instagram, he's under Danny Pellegrino. His memes have been going viral, and People Magazine just did a really nice piece about him. And he's also a very, very nice person and has a new podcast out. So please welcome Danny.
Yay. Thank you, Kate. Thank you so much. That was so kind of you.
So I asked you to watch this week's Dancing with the Stars. You had just mentioned that you hadn't seen the show in years, and I don't watch that much. My kids sometimes will want to watch, but so I watched a little bit last week, and I was horrified because Vanessa Lachey, you know, they always do these packages about the people in the first season. Well, they talked a lot about how she was a mom, which is not that interesting. I mean, a lot of people are moms. And then they had her do some sort of dance where they used strollers. And I just thought, okay, this is pretty stupid.
Yeah.
So for the sake of this show, I watched last night's episode, and I was eager to hear what you thought of it.
Sure. Well, I mean, speaking of Vanessa Lachey, I felt like she was doing that thing where people overcompensate to convince other people that their marriage is like very sexual. Do you know what I mean?
100%.
And it was just making me so uncomfortable. Like, she just kept talking about Nick and how, you know, they're sexy at home and all that kind of stuff, and how sexy he was dancing. And it was like, okay, you're talking a little too much about this. I feel like something might be wrong at home. And I also kept thinking about her photo shoot with Lindsay Lohan. Now, have you ever seen this?
I have.
Oh my God. So that's literally like all I could think about. Like, she was presenting herself as this married woman. And, you know, like you said, with the strollers last week and everything. And all I could do was picture those pictures of her and Lindsay Lohan where they were completely out of their minds. I don't know what or if they were on something, but they were like posing with sharp knives at the end of a night. And so I just kept thinking of that, this whole image rehab that she's done on this ABC show. So, you know, that was a little jarring.
I think you're totally right about the sex thing, because it reminded me of when Jada Pinkett and Will Smith do interviews and they're like, girl, we totally just do it all night long. I'm like, I don't think so.
Like, enough. And also, Nick's partner reminded me of a Jessica Simpson from another country, like Jessica in her prime. And I thought, that's problematic. You know, like, maybe she should be worried. I don't know. It just worried me.
That's actually a really good point. His dance, he danced to Barry Manilow's Mandy, which I grew up listening to and love. And I cite that as one of the reasons that I got married in my first marriage, because yeah. I remember it was college. We were dancing at a dive bar and that song came on. And I thought at the time that it was a sign from God that he was meant to be. As we all know, that was not. So I thought it was a strange music choice. I love Barry Manilow, but if you really do want to prove to the world that you and your wife are super sexy together, why would you dance to Barry Manilow's Mandy?
Totally. I mean, I'm worried about their marriage. And Max is so attractive. I've actually seen him in person. I used to bartend at a spa that was also it had a restaurant and bar attached. And Max came in one time, like, in his robe. He was the most attractive man I've ever seen. So I could only imagine, you know, the sexual politics that couple is playing, you know, on this show. And then also, you know, like I said, I haven't watched this show in years. And when I did watch it, one of those first few seasons, Nick's brother was on. And I remember thinking, Nick is too for this show, right? Like, that was when Nick and Jessica were in their prime, and I always thought, Nick's too good for this show. And now I'm like, the whole fucking family's on it. Excuse my French, but like what is going on?
I gotta tell you, Nick may be cuter, but Drew Lachey can dance circles around his brother.
Totally. And I actually always had a crush on that other 98 Degree member, the one
Jeff Timmons.
Yes. He's been doing Chippendales or something in Vegas, and which reminds me, I need to book a trip to Vegas, and I would like to see him on this show.
Okay, what do you think about the other contestants, many of which I've never even heard of?
Sure, yeah. A lot of them I recognize from Celebrity Apprentice. I used to watch that show, and like Terrell Owens was on that, and Debbie Gibson, and so I had some like familiarity with them from that.
Wait a minute, slow down a second.
Yeah.
The way that you knew Debbie Gibson was from Celebrity Apprentice and not from Out of the Blue?
Well, I mean, Yes and no. I mean, I knew out of the blue, I knew a little bit of Debbie Gibson's background, but I really fell in love with her on Celebrity Apprentice, which I'm not proud of at all.
You know, my friend who is writing for Us Weekly, I said, God, I would really love to interview Debbie Gibson. And she surprisingly said she's sort of a snooze.
Really?
Yeah.
She was sort of a snooze on Celebrity Apprentice, to be honest. I'm surprised that she's doing more celebrity themed reality shows. But, you know, I guess they need to fill out the cast. They need to round it out.
What do you think about I would love to interview somebody in casting at Dancing with the Stars to find out who really wants to be on the show. Like, who are they rejecting for this show?
Yeah, well, I actually know one of the producers on the show, and I'm trying to think of any good scoop he's given me. But I know they try for big names, but it usually, I know he always sort of says they're either stars on the come up, so they're like, you know, like the Pretty Little Liar girl or something, who they're sort of at the beginning of their career, and then it's the people at the end of their career. So,
right.
They don't really go for people too much in the middle.
Right. So it's like Gary Busey or somebody that just became a YouTube star because they apply makeup a certain way.
Exactly.
Interesting.
Exactly right.
I didn't watch Frankie Muniz. I fast forwarded through that. I thought, I didn't know who Jordan Fisher was, but I did think I couldn't tell who was the pro, Jordan or Lindsay. I thought they were very good. What do you think about Max? Wait, which one did you say is hot? Max or Val?
Max. I've never met or seen Val, but I mean, he looks hot too.
I feel like he has a better personality than Max. I feel like Max probably sleeps with a machete under his bed.
Yeah, I mean, Max definitely scares me, but in a good way, like in a way that I am into. But he's terrifying.
Who's going to get kicked off first, Vanessa or Nick?
I don't know. I think Nick would get kicked off first. He just seems so stiff. But I like really don't like Vanessa Lachey. Like something about her just rubs me the wrong way.
It is interesting how there could be someone on television that you can't really pinpoint why you don't like them, but you do know that you don't.
100%. And you know, she was supposed to be in, you know, the movie The First Wives Club?
Yeah.
So they were doing – TV Land was developing a reboot of that show, and she was supposed to play this very like – this lesbian on it, this very tough lesbian.
No.
And the script was terrible. And so I think that's part of the reason too. I was so mad at her for even doing that and for the people to try to do that, and it never got picked up. But I read the pilot, and it was just terrible. And it made me really mad at Vanessa Lachey.
So you write for shows. Are there any other, is there any scoop that you could tell us?
Nothing I can really talk about right now.
So would you write a script for Barbara Corcoran?
I would love to. That would be a dream script for me to write. I love Barbara. I love a woman of 68 or above. I like that she's trying to put herself out there. I would actually like a full Shark Tank edition of this show. I'm a huge Shark Tank fan, and I want to see all those sharks in one. Like, they should do a shortened season where it's all of like Damon and Mark Cuban and all of them. I think some of them have already been on Dancing with the Stars.
I feel like Damon would be good. Like, he would have some moves. Mark Cuban is just not a good dancer.
No. And you know, Bethany's on Shark Tank this coming season, Bethany Frankel. And so she could be on it.
Well, remember she was on Skating with the Stars?
Yes, of course. Yes.
Okay. Terrell Owens, what did you think about him basically boning Cheryl Burke on the dance floor?
I loved that move at the end that he did.
I did too. I was into that full time.
Yeah. Like it made me sweaty. It made me feel good. That whole performance when they, right when they ripped open his shirt, I was on board.
And his teeth just like sparkle in the moonlight. Yes. Perfect. He's super cute. I know he's really dirty and not somebody you would want to take home to your mom because he's got a lot of baggage, but really? He's really attractive, I have to say.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know much about him. I mean, I'm not a sports fan, but I don't know too much about him. I only know him from Celebrity Apprentice, which is also embarrassing.
I feel like you spent a lot of your time watching that show. Yeah. I don't know. So who's going to win this whole show?
Oh gosh. Let me see. I could see Nikki Bella kind of making a a late in the game comeback and really taking the lead. Because she's very athletic, and I feel like she's also very competitive.
Does she have enough people that follow her? Because I think that that's the big problem.
You know, I know her fans are kind of those... I mean, she has crazy fans, like those wrestling fans. But I just don't know how much of a crossover, you know, the wrestling fans are to this kind of show.
Yeah.
I feel like this kind of show, the people love, like, that Property Brothers guy, right?
I guess so. He's super weird. Boring, too. He's very robotic. I'm not into it. I'm going to say that Nick Lachey wins this whole thing.
Yeah.
I think he's a terrible dancer, but, like, week seven, he'll throw in a couple extra moves, and they'll have some props to distract. And I think in the end, the fact that he's a dad and he's got in this boy band will probably win people over. I don't know if enough people like Vanessa Lachey.
Yeah. She's just something about her. It's that First Wives Club pilot.
I know.
Who thinks the biggest star on the show right now?
Probably Max Chermakovsky or whatever, because remember he had his wedding on the cover of the People magazine. I feel like that's a gauge of the common America, you know, the American public interest in people. So I'm going to just go with him, even though he's not the actual celebrity. I think people care more about the dancer now than the actual celebrity.
Totally. I was really into that Gleb. Is that his name? Gleb?
Yeah, he's cute.
He's very good looking. Like he was making me sweat a little bit.
But then the girl that he's dancing with, I don't know who that is.
Yeah, I don't know. I blocked her out.
Yeah. I think it's easy to do. He's cute. She's got great skin, but she just didn't really do it for me. I think that this Jordan Fisher is a good dancer, but again, I don't even know who it is. So that's the problem, I think, with the show is like now we don't even know half the people and we don't even care.
Exactly.
Yeah. So yeah, tell...
It's too long.
Tell everybody how they can find you.
Yeah. So on Instagram and Twitter, I'm at Danny Pellegrino. It's Pellegrino. And on Facebook, I'm at Pellegrino Danny. And then I just launched a new podcast last week. It's called Everything Iconic with Danny Pellegrino. So that's on iTunes and Google Play. And it's a lot of reality TV stuff. And I'm doing some celebrity interviews and recapping Bravo shows and all that kind of good stuff. And you have to come on it. I'm making you.
Oh, of course I will. Whether you need to buy or sell, or you're just obsessed with looking at homes for sale, Redfin's got you covered. Redfin updates their listings every 2 minutes so you can see new homes first. And they give you personalized recommendations based on the homes that you like, so you can find the home that's just right for you, whether that's a cabin, a craftsman, or a castle. With the top-rated Redfin app, you can favorite homes, share listings with others, and schedule tours, and even on the same day, with a local Redfin agent who can help guide you through the whole home buying process. And if you're looking to sell, Redfin agents have the experience to get you the best price possible for your home. That's because they sell twice as many homes as other agents. With a listing fee as low as 1%, Redfin's fees are half of what others often charge, which means you'll have more money to put towards what matters most to you, like your next home. In fact, last year, Redfin saved home sellers $127 million. No matter where you are in your real estate journey, Redfin can help. Download the Redfin app to get started today.
The amazing Kate Casey.
I want to thank my guests this week, Justin Brescia, Candy Lawrence, and Danny Pellegrino. Reminder to go to my website, www.loveandknuckles.com. If you have not joined my closed Facebook group by now, you need to stop whatever you're doing and go to Facebook and go to the search bar and put in Reality Life with Kate Casey. You may ask yourself, I don't know, do I really want to be in another Facebook group? Yes, you do, because these are people that want to talk about reality shows like you do. They want to dissect the shows. They want to find people. They want to track them down. They just want to riff with someone other than the guy at the grocery store about how they feel about Real Housewives and the direction Real Housewives of Orange County is going. They want to know what's going on 90 Day Fiancé. They want to know who else thinks that Survivor is super weird. So go on the page, join your friends. My other Facebook page is Love and Knuckles. You can find me on Twitter at Kate Casey. My Instagram is at Kate Casey, CA. I've been imitating pictures all week. And news about upcoming guests, which includes next week, I'm driving to Glendale to the headquarters of Boone & Murray to do an interview with Jonathan Murray of Boone & Murray. He's the founder or the creator of The Real World, Road Rules, etc., and an executive producer of Keeping Up with the Kardashians. In addition, I'm having Spencer Pratt from The Hills review a reality show for me. So if you have any suggestions for what he should watch, please send them my way. But I have to say, I'm sort of thinking of an episode of TLC's A Baby Story. As always, I'm already laughing thinking about next week. So have a great week.
Business can mean a lot of things. For some, it's earning reports, the top MBA program, investments, but business isn't everything we do. Side hustles that explode into the next billion-dollar company.
I need to create my own product that I control what the marketing is for.
Unconventional ideas that change the world we live in.
AI is everywhere, with venture capital pouring in.
From Elon Musk,
he took a massive axe and swung it through Twitter's workforce.
To Taylor Swift,
she is unstoppable as her Eras Tour stimulated local economy.
Your favorite coffee shop down the street to the vacation house you rented last weekend. Whatever business means to you, Wondery is the destination for business podcasts. Listen to top business shows like How I Built This, Business Wars, The Best One Yet, Business Movers, and many more. Everything from top daily news.
There was more ranch dressing sold last year than ketchup and barbecue sauce.
We're buying the dip, literally.
To deep dives on the biggest successes and failures of our time.
20,000 people lost their jobs.
Wondery means business.